Hey, Sterling Valentine. We're here with Stephen Essa, one of Australia's premier internet marketers, a former rock and roll guy, and just a really interesting guy I've been watching for a long time. So, Stephen, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Sterling. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Steve's an unusual case because he was already around the world rock star before he did internet marketing. He toured with a rock band and already, you know, had a career. And he has a very interesting story of how he got into internet marketing. He's extensively experienced with high ticket back end stuff, and he's got a lot of interesting, unusual angles that I haven't heard before that I've been really looking forward to seeing him. You know, Stephen doesn't come from any, super triple MBA background from some Ivy League school. He was a rock and roll guitar player, you know. So for those of you who might have a little challenge by saying, well, what about me? Maybe he can do it or she can do it, but I can't do it. Hey, a lot of us come from a lot of different crazy backgrounds, right, Stephen? Yet we still somehow manage to pull it all together and offer high ticket services and products, right?
That's right. You know, at the end of the day, people are buying value. They want value. You know, money is nothing but the measure of the value that we deliver to people. If you demonstrate to them how you can deliver value and you indeed deliver value and you have a fantastic product that works and have fantastic support, then, you know, word quickly spreads. And conversely, if you offer a high ticket product and it's shit and you don't deliver value, then word quickly spreads about that. So you want to always, you know, deliver quality for the high end. And most importantly, Sterling, is pick and choose who you work with. Don't just accept anyone in your high ticket product. You want it to be a program that has a high success rate. You don't want to just accept anybody just because they've got the money. You have to have some standards to work with people at the higher level. And I found that very important to interview every single person that came into our high level, you know, from 10K programs to 50K programs that I created. You know, everyone had to qualify for those to make sure that they were a good fit.
I've heard that before, to have people apply. And not only does it filter out the people you don't want to work with, but it offers a lot more exclusivity and people feel like they have to actually qualify to belong to something. They value it a lot more. So let's roll it back a little bit and take a look at how you first got started as an independent professional, as a consultant. You're famous for doing amazing webinar trainings. And I know that we talked about how you actually have gone around the world and helped people make money right at these actual events. So how did you make the transition from rock and roll guy to, internet marketing guy?
Yeah, I think it all started with a decision when I was living in Los Angeles for 2 years. We went there. We worked in the music business here in Australia for 13 years. And I always tell people I learned more from about business by being in the music business than anything else, because we would have to do our own merchandise. So we printed our own shirts. We would have our own logos and gimmicks. And we sold thousands of shirts with this one particular gimmick that we had, which was feels good to be a Westie headbanger out in the western suburbs of Sydney. There's some, some sort of conflict between the inner city crew and all of that, you know, like the East Coast, West Coast, you know, all of that stuff. There was a little bit of that happening. And so we played on that. We were the Westies. And when we learned to market and we learned how to get our name out there, we would, you know, after band practice, we would go out and put pole posters on telephone poles till 3 o'clock in the morning and get water and flour on big concrete bridges and put our posters up. So we learned marketing, guerrilla marketing, and we get chased by the council, chased by the police for putting up our stuff. And it was all about, you know, going to other network, other events, other seminars, I'm so used to saying seminars now, other gigs, and supporting other bands. And then, you know, giving our flyers out at those gigs when people came out, and JVing with the bands, you know what I mean? Like telling a band, hey, you know, you support us on this tour and then we'll get you on that tour. Like you know, it's like a list swap, you know? Like, exactly. Hey, Sterling, I'll promote your offer to my list if you promote to mine. So I learned all about JVing. I learned about going to stores, approaching stores, putting things in the stores. And you know, we were terrible or average at everything, but we learned, and we weren't afraid of working hard for our dream. Our dream was to write songs that made us royalties, you know, money coming in without doing the work. That always appealed to me. Do the work once and get paid again and again, as well as the fame and the fortune that you can make in the music business or back then. So we ended up in America and worked very, very hard for a long time. And then they said in 2003, when we arrived, they said, you've come at the worst time. And they said, the music business is collapsing thanks to Napster, and they're not handing out record deals anymore. And basically, we were kind of shattered. But we still went out there and we did what we did in Australia. We played at the Whiskey, the Roxy, the Viper Room, played with Metal School back then. They're now called Steel Panther on Monday nights in Hollywood. We'd never done a gig in months. Monday night in Hollywood. That was the biggest night of the week. So we achieved a lift I'm proud of. But at the time, I was very depressed because the band broke up in 9 months. We lived in a Hollywood apartment in Lash Lane off Kawanga Boulevard, and four of us in a one-bedder. We nearly killed each other. You know, I remember one of our relatives sent some cans of baked beans from Australia over, and we nearly killed each other over. We're living on $10 a week at the 99-cent store on Sunset Boulevard. Wow. And it was brutal, to say the least. I mean, I'm pretty skinny, but I looked like Alice Cooper by the time I got back to Australia. So, you know, in the end, we kind of like gave it our best shot. And, you know, it's like it was a really, really cool Eminem song that I heard years before that he said, when you're in the moment, try and grab as much of it as you can in the music business, you know, when you're with your fame and fortune, whatever. And then he says, when your run is over, just admit when it's at its end. And, you know, for me, in my heart, I wanted financial freedom. I wanted to be basically comfortable. I was 30-something years old at that stage, and I hated sleeping on the floor. And you just get over it, you know. Like, you know, music is a young man's sport when you're touring and you're trying to make it. It's very, very hard. As AC/DC says, the highway to hell. You know, it really is a highway to hell, the music business. So, you know, for me, I just was you know, felt like I gave it everything I got. I left it all out there on the field, and we didn't make it. And now I just wanted to, you know, settle down. And I got sick of the whole, you know, rehearsing and changing singers, and you know, it was just just 13 years of grueling thing, and it was nonstop. We never took a holiday, you know.
So how do we get to? I'm dying here. How do we get to the actual webinar expert part? This is killing me. I've been waiting.
I was sitting in LA, and I'm basically looking at the computer trying to upload a iTunes CD into iTunes, right? And I was like, I didn't know how to use computers very well. I could send and receive email. That was it. And I sat there one day and I said, that's it. These computers, these things here, they're going to take over the world. And when I go back to Australia, if I don't know how to use a computer, I'm going to be left behind. I'm not going to be able to find work. I'm not going to be able to create a business. So I looked at it basically like a tool. I said, I need to learn this tool so I can go back, build a business on the internet. So I came back to Australia. I tried to rip off Craigslist website and build a website in Australia like Craigslist, because no one in Australia in 2005 had heard of Craigslist. So I tried to rip that off. I had one meeting with a website guy, and that was the end of that venture. And then I got into real estate and started buying no money down properties, because I thought, real estate, that's the way to go. I got into $1 million worth of debt, and the property portfolio halved. So I owed $1 million and I only had $500,000 in equity. So in 18 months, I went further backwards. When I came back from America, I was $30,000 in the hole. Now I'm, you know, $1 million in debt, and I only have $500K in equity. So I was going to seminars about the internet to learn from my boss's business how I could actually help his real estate company to grow more. And along that process of going to the seminar, I started seeing ideas for myself, because I didn't have a product, I didn't have a website, I didn't have a mailing list, but he had all these things. So I helped him implement that. And that's why I always tell people, if you're starting from scratch, the best thing to do is go and implement, you know, what you learn in someone else's business first, because if it doesn't work, you've ruined their business, not yours, right? So that's a good way to practice, you know. Why ruin your business when I'm only kidding? But basically, I pulled off some amazing things in his business. So I helped him make like $106,000 in a month. I then implemented the web stuff that I learned. And after 6 months, I quit my job and I started, you know, my own online business. So I basically went into making money for churches and charities, pulled off a really good campaign where I made $30,000 for my church in Sydney in a month. And then I turned it into a product. I basically put it into a product. And then my mentor said, why don't you try sell it on a webinar? And I just remember saying, what's a webinar? And he said, just go to gotowebinar.com and try it out. You know, just check it out. So I went on there. I ran a webinar. I sold this product. I think I had 15 people on the call, and I sold two products at $297. And I thought, this is much easier than building websites, you know. So I'm going to basically run with this. So I started doing it. I made $4,000, $10,000, $25,000, $100,000, $140,000 in 90 minutes, and went on to make a $1 million business. You know, other people started saying, "How do you do that?" I said, "Well, it's really easy." And my mentor said, you should become the webinar guy and people will pay you to learn webinars. I said, are you kidding? No one's going to pay me to teach him how to do a webinar because it's so simple. You just put it on and you press play. And, you know, over $10 million later, we now have five companies in multiple markets. I call that a medical center type model where we have other experts making us money. We just control the back end. And, you know, we've never looked back since. Our team continues to grow year on year. Our income doubles and it's doing fantastic.
That's a great, great turnaround story. And it's a great, you know, it's an example of the long and winding road, right? So if you're out there paying attention and you're saying, look at these experts, they're already set, they've got it made, they got it all figured out. It's a very, very long and winding road. And sometimes it doubles back and sometimes it leads you to amazing places. So Steve's got a great story. And I want to hear a little bit more about what the original things were that you were offering. So you started at the $297 offer on the webinars. When did you break into what you would consider to be the higher ticket product? What was the original offers that you tried? What were the price points? And how did it actually go? Did it was successful in the beginning or did it take you a little while to dial that in?
Yeah, basically for me, what happened, Sterling, was I started out at $297. Now, every time I start with someone who's brand new in the business and they want to create an information course, because I never create a course until I've sold it, really. I mean, that's very, very important to me because I don't want to waste any time unnecessarily. And if someone doesn't buy, we don't have a business yet, right? So I always start out at about the $297. We might throw together a quick offer, like here's what we're going to cover in some more webinars. So put a free webinar together. At the end, we offer eight webinars with some support for $297. If we're converting more than 10%, I put it up to $497. If we're converting more than 10%, I go to $997. And I keep stacking the value until I get to that main offering of a business is around about anything from $500 to $5,000, depending on the industry. If we're talking about stock market, real estate investing, business opportunities, it's going to be $3,000 to $5,000 minimum for our main offer. And that we bring customers, as many customers as we can. You sell that on webinars, you sell that on stages, you sell that wherever you can sell that from your website. And you basically construct your main offer. So I started out selling a product called How to Make Money for Churches and Charities at $297. It was about how to make YouTube videos, how to build a list, how to email the list, how to create a campaign for 30 days and make money and that whole thing. And I sold that. And then I actually stretched out to, I had people who were buying it that actually wanted to learn how to do it for their business, not for their church or their charity. So I moved the next program to $500. And I basically said, look, how to use YouTube for marketing purposes, how to do this. And I just started teaching them how to do it in general for $500. And I converted, I think, $4,000 or $6,000 worth of sales. And then I put it up to $1,000. And then I just keep adding more value. You know, you can call me anytime for $1,000. You can call me anytime for a whole year. So I just kept stacking the value till I got, you know, to the point where it was $3,000. And, you know, really what made me want to charge more was that my schedule was full. I wanted a full schedule and people paying me because I would rather, one of my students, if they're joining, I would rather you be busy making money, right, rather than sitting there saying, no, I refuse to charge any less than $10,000 or whatever, but you've only got one customer. I would rather you be busy so we get more testimonials, so you grow in confidence, so you create a supreme program. By working with more people, you get to create the ultimate program. So I worked basically for, you know, some people say, Steve, if I do that, I'm only making $5 an hour. I call it getting paid to do market research because I'm getting all these testimonials. I'm getting all these results. I'm seeing where people are weak, where people are strong. So I learned all this data. I learned how to master coaching. I would watch a webinar. I would sit there for, you know, thousands of hours of coaching. I would sit there and say, stop, say this there, do that there. Can you replace that? Do you have a testimonial? So I literally became a master of looking at a presentation and saying, no, that's not going to work. That's to the point where I can look at a PowerPoint presentation and tell you, based on the skeleton of it, whether the content is long enough, whether it's not long enough, you know, whether the offer is irresistible. I became a master of a sales, like a PowerPoint sales letter for a webinar through that whole process. So for me, I was investing in my education. The first 4 years was about learning what works in an internet business. And then after that, you know, going into, you know, what the strategy is going to be. So I went to $3,000 now. At the end of the first year in business, I made over $150,000 selling my main offer, okay, which at that point was maybe around about $2,000. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic, you know? And then I thought, okay, now I need a higher end offer, right? Because in business, the first offer that you offer is basically going to cover your costs and a bit of your lifestyle. So at the end of the financial year, I said to my bookkeeper, I said, okay, how much money have we made? She said, okay, you've made $150,000 and you've spent this much money in costs and airfares and whatever, and you've, you know, bought yourself a bunch of clothes and whatever and had a good lifestyle, went on a holiday. And then at the end, there was about 20 or 30 grand. I don't remember the exact profit, you know, net profit number. But I was like, oh, wow, it's not really much, is it? She said, well, you've lived your life, you know, you're working your own hours and whatever. And I said, yeah, I'm working 16 hours coaching people every day. But, you know, you get to pick and choose where you work, when you work and whatever. But at the end of the day, I realized that I need to have, you know, I need to get more income in. I can sell more of these, or I can sell a higher end offer to the people who need more help. And this is really the thing that a lot of businesses don't realize, Sterling. It's like, by doing and getting as many people into your main offer as you can, your $2,000 to $3,000 offer, you soon figure out where they need more help, because your high end ticket item, I call it your profit maker is going to come from what their problem is through your customer's words, actions, or non-actions. There's three things that tell me what my high-end offer should be. Through their words, people, when they're doing your first program, will say to you, hey, Sterling, I really like what you said here, but do you have something about this and this and this? Or, Sterling, do you have something where I like the group coaching online, but do you have something where we get together in 5 days and we build the whole thing? Is there something that, because, you know, I get distracted. I come home from work and I'm tired. Can I take a week off and come and work with you? And their words will tell you, or they'll say, Sterling, you know, I don't really understand the course. You know, like, you know, what's a domain name? And it tells you, hang on, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's right, that's good, they like that, they don't like that, they want this. And their actions, if they're taking action and they're getting success, you know, hey, this is what's working, that program's fantastic because of this. Or their non-action. Most people who buy programs don't do anything. And it's not just programs. Most people who go to university and college leave and don't even do the degree that they studied. Most people who buy a book never read the book. Most people who buy food have thrown it away. Most people who buy clothes never wear those clothes and throw them away. So we're a wasteful society. We buy on impulse and we never use it. So if someone's not using your program, it's an indicator. How can we make it easier? How can we make it simpler? Or how can we sell them something else that they will use, because they bought your program, they want it, doesn't mean that just because they didn't do anything that they don't want the result. They wanted that result. Now let's find a different way to sell them that result. And that might be, let's sell them a 5-day boot camp, where you come in and we build the whole thing for you. We did that, we sold it for 10 grand and people can leave and they're launched and ready to go. Or you can basically say, okay, some people want more one-on-one attention. They're nervous to ask questions in a group. So you basically say to them, how much would you pay for one-on-one coaching or consulting if I sat with you every week for 90 minutes and we built this thing and we did it in 26 weeks or we did it in 1 year, how much would you pay? They'll tell you how much they'll pay. They'll tell you, you know, whether they'll want it. They'll tell you what else they want inside it. So I think it's very important for people to get that information from people who've already spent, even if someone spent $100 with you, that is more reliable research information than anything else. And the biggest point that we talked about before we came online that you told me to mention is that when I first looked at my high ticket item, I didn't have the confidence and the you know what to sell something for 25 grand. I was nervous about it. Even though I sold this amazing product for 3 grand, I had people making $1 million. I had a vet who made $1 million and sold his business. I had a fitness expert who made $1 million from webinars. I had a pilot that made £450,000 in his first training. So I had all these testimonials of people and students who studied my course, made millions of dollars and were doing great, but I still felt nervous offering something for 25 grand. So I went back to my first mentor who sold me a $25,000 speaking program. And I said to him, do you mind if I sell your 25 grand high ticket item? Because it's a proven package, right? I'd bought it. I'd done his program. It was a great course. I mean, I learned so much about marketing through his speaker training. It's the best speaker training program in the world, called Next Level, because it doesn't involve any NLP tricks and whatever. It's pure marketing. I just loved it. And I studied that and I became a millionaire from it. And I said, let me sell it for you. So I basically convinced him to let me sell it and we go 50-50. And when I did that, I sold it at the first workshop I ran. I had like 20 people there, two people bought it. I made 50 grand. I made more money from that room of people from two sales than I'd had previously generated from that room of people at 3K or 1K or whatever the package was. So I was like, wow, this is really good. And then I delivered that program. And then at the end of the financial year, this is why I call it a profit maker. Your high-end product is a profit maker, because at the end of the financial year, the second year, I think we did about $500,000 in sales. And I actually looked at that and I was like, going, oh, here we go. We've got this particular income. We've got this particular expenses. And now at the end was left over around about $140,000 from what I generated my half share of selling his package. So I was like, wow, the rest of the business, the main offer, that creates a really, really good kind of income, a lifestyle, whatever. But then everything else, you know, it's pure profit. That's why I call it a profit maker. So, you know, if you want to increase the profits of your business, then adding a high-end offer is really, really powerful for doing that.
You know, this is the thing that originally shocked me the most, even when I first added high-ticket stuff into my offers. And I found out when you do the numbers and you calculate what percentage of your total revenue pie comes from the front end versus what comes from the high-ticket stuff, even though the conversions are smaller, you know, your second offers, your upsells, your back-end stuff, your conversions are going to be smaller. The number of buyers you're going to have are going to be smaller. But when you see the total amount of the pie that what you would consider smaller section is actually bringing in, it actually can be the lion's share of what you're making. So when I talk to students about this for the first time, they have to shift their paradigm a little bit, because they're really thinking like, I've got my main business and then I'm going to add on this high ticket stuff on the top, on the back, like it's extra, like they're putting icing on the cake. And I try to get them to understand, no, that's the cake, right? That's the whole big cake. And when you really fully monetize at a high ticket level, the front end is actually the smaller part, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly. And a lot of people get really caught up with the whole, I've got to do this whole ascension model where I need to sell my low ticket item and then sell the high ticket item. Well, I've thrown that rule book out the window when I started selling my high end product straight away, because here's what we found out through lots of research on webinars when we survey people who didn't buy. And one good example was my wife, who ran her webinar. She was selling a 997 Twitter course. And we did a little group where I had her on a webinar. She was overseas and I ran a group in Perth, Western Australia. And we had about 8 people in the workshop and we ran this webinar in the early days. And basically in the room, no one bought the product. And I was like going, did you guys like the webinar? And they were like, yeah, we liked the webinar. I go, did you like the offer? They go, yeah, we liked the offer. I said, well, if you like the offer and you like the webinar, why didn't you buy? And they said something that launched a over $1 million business for my wife. And they said, we love the product, we love the content, but we don't have time to implement it. I said to her, to the audience, so if my wife Karina did this for you, who would get involved? And they all put their hand up. I said, how much would you pay? And they said, well, we don't know. I said, how much would it cost if you paid someone in the Philippines to do this? And they said, maybe $300 a month. So I said, if she can do it for $300 a month with a trained team, who's not in the Philippines, who's in Australia or Europe, who would pay? And 3 people said, we'll pay for it, right? You know, $300 a month for one platform. So I recalled my wife. I said, oh, this is really good. Like, you got to find a way to do it for them. A Done For You is the best high level program, because it's a push button. They pay you and then you do everything. That is the most appealing product for anyone, especially these days where we're all so time poor. Time is the new currency. You know, if you save people time, they'll gladly pay you money for it. So basically, I went back to her and I said, we've got to do it. And the next webinar we ran, we generated $10,000 a month recurring income from, you know, 30 people who basically signed up to that webinar. She had to stop selling it and get staff on board. The company's worth over $1.5 million now, and she's, you know, cleaning up. So basically, we learned from asking them what it is, and we also started selling that as the front end offer, because if people choose all 4 platforms, they pay $1,000 a month. That's 12 grand a year. That's a high level package, right? And then I started selling a 10 grand program of my own, a 25 grand program of my own, perfecting it. I think the first year I sold my own 25 grand program, I did a tour with my wife's brother. We did over $1.5 million in sales on that tour. And it was fantastic. I got so many people signed up for the 25 grand, I've doubled the price to take half as many students. And we took like 13 students at 50 grand because we couldn't keep up with all the students in the 25 grand price. So, you know, these are the things that sort of happen. And don't be afraid to offer that as your front end. What you don't want to do is offer your front end offer and your main offer on one webinar. You want to offer one or the other. So create two webinar presentations, one for your main offer, say $3,000 offer, and then create another one for your $10,000 offer. You know, just about a month ago, my brother-in-law pulled out of a webinar because he's got twin daughters and he couldn't do it. And I was going to cancel the webinar. My wife said, why don't you just sell your high-end fast launch program for $10,000? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just throw that. So I threw it together last minute, you know, just polished it up a little bit. You know, we made two sales at $10,000. Now, it wasn't a 10% conversion rate, but who cares? It was like an hour and 15 minutes, and I just made $20,000 from two customers that, you know, didn't even come to that webinar for that. They came to see my brother-in-law. So it was absolutely amazing, and when I teach people that strategy, they freak out a little bit. You know, oh my God, I have to do this whole ascension thing first, and it's just not the case. So many people want to buy your stuff on a webinar. They want to buy the result that you've got, but because you're offering them a course and they don't have time to study a course, you know, they're not buying. If you turned around and change it to a done for you, people will be lining up because they got the money, but they don't have the time.
Yeah, and you know, you also bring up another great point is that it doesn't, you know, the higher ticket you go, the less conversions you need, right? So the lower the price point, the higher the conversions you're going to require in order to get the same amount of money. So if you do a 1% conversion, somebody might say, well, that's horrible. But if your 1% conversion netted you $100,000, who cares, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So let's go back and take a look at your lead flow from the beginning, because this is a question I get all the time. So when you first started out, where were you getting your leads that eventually turned into these high ticket buyers? Where did you start out getting your leads? Did they turn out to be the ones that you turned into high ticket buyers, or where did you find your optimal lead sources?
Yeah, my number one, and I my business survived and grew purely on joint ventures. I couldn't even do any marketing because I was so busy in my business doing the coaching, doing the support, collecting the money, that all of the customers I got came from joint ventures, people who promoted me selling my front end offer, which was $2,000 to $3,000. So basically, I would go to a seminar, I would speak, I would sell, or I would do a JV webinar with them, I would speak to their list. And this is in the early stages of webinars when you could have a main offer. The cheapest main offers were $2,000, $3,000, and people were cleaning up on webinars with that. Now your front end offer on a webinar needs to be around about the $300 to $500 mark. If you're talking to a targeted list, then you can sell. I still sell a $3,000 product on a webinar, and it still converts really well to a good list, you know. So purely joint ventures. Three, I always tell students this, Sterling. If people have three or four really good joint venture partners with big databases who promote them on a regular basis, you won't have a marketing problem. You will have so many customers coming in, you won't be able to keep up with them. And then 10% of those will sign up to your higher level, higher ticket profit maker product. You know, so basically I survived and thrived and built my list to 5,000 just purely on joint ventures. People register for my webinar. Some of them would buy, most of them wouldn't, but I was building this database. Then I was bringing in other experts. I was promoting them to my database, and I was making 50% of the profit from their product as well. So that's how I grew my business, purely on joint ventures. And people say, well, how do I get a joint venture? And that is basically find someone who's got a big database and ask them, what products are you looking to promote? What do I need to have? What price point do I need to be? What do I need to deliver? What does your database want? Okay, if you ask those questions, I mean, I'm constantly looking for new things to promote all the time, right? Not at the moment. We just acquired our first company and we actually just launched a brand new business partner. But all the time, we're looking for things to promote that are good, that benefit our database, that have great products. And why would you go and waste your time in the beginning running around spending money on Facebook ads and all this other stuff when someone's already done all the hard work? They've got the database there. All you got to do is find them. And people say, how do you find them? Well, go and get interviewed on their podcasts. Go to their events. You know, look at big companies. One of my students, actually, we built her a webinar about joint ventures. She went to AON Insurance and had AON Insurance send an email to their whole database for a $100 referral fee to promote a mental health practitioner's website, which they paid basically zero, 30-day free trial, $100 on that. They picked up so many customers from that. And not only that, the database, because every time someone registers for your webinar, the name and email is the most important thing. You know, all you want to do in your internet business is build your list. That's the most important thing. Then you go to someone and you say, hey, can you promote me for 50%? People go, oh, 50%? Wait a minute, that's so much money. Well, go and do Facebook ads, spend 100% and don't make a single sale, and now you're minus 100% of the money. At least with a JV, I'll give you $1,500 from half of my front end offer, but guess who's going to keep 100% of the profit maker high end product, right? I keep 100% of the 10 grand. So really it cost me $1,500 to get a customer. I made $1,500 and now I'm making 10 grand on the back end as well. So, you know, it's absolutely huge when you focus on that and you really focus on joint ventures. And then the other thing you do, if someone won't promote you for 50%, I'll say to you, hey, Sterling, can I pay you $5,000 just to send this email for this webinar to your database? Would that be okay? And then if you've got a good database and I'm on your database and I know you send out good stuff and I know people turn up to your webinars, that $5,000, that's an investment. I can get a database of 200-300 people who are qualified because they trust you. And that's what's so powerful with joint ventures. People say, should I buy a database? It's a completely different game. You can if you know what you're doing and you've got the money and you've tested it before, but nothing is more powerful. I'd rather pay $10,000 to you, Sterling, for you to mail your database, come to my webinar, you recommend me, I know I'm going to make money from that every day of the week and I keep 100% of the profits. You know, and then the other way, we do an ad swap. When I've built a database, I say, hey, Sterling, you've got a webinar. I've got a webinar. You promote me for free. I'll promote you for free. You keep whatever you get out of it. You know, and that's really what all the strategies we use now in our business. And my wife ran a campaign in London recently for one of our business partners. She spent 120 grand and we pulled in over 300,000 in sales. And they were all solo ads, people who we paid money to email their list and even send out, you know, direct mail letters as well. So, you know, start out small, but, you know, basically it's all built around relationships. JVs will make you rich, and that's purely and simply the best way to do it. And that's how all these internet marketing gurus made all their money. They tell you Facebook ads, they tell you do this and do that, but at the end of the day, they all made their money from joint ventures. And if they tell you otherwise, they're full of shit. Okay. So joint ventures are the most powerful number one way to do it.
So if you had to address the people on your list, the subscribers that you've had for a long time, I know that some of them are doing high ticket stuff, but probably most of them aren't. What would some of the things that you wish that they knew, that you wish that you could impart to them about high ticket offers, about moving into high ticket territory? What would you like them to know, to believe, to understand, and what kind of actions would you like them to take?
Yeah, someone just walked in. So if you have my students, how do I get them to sell a high ticket offer?
I'm just saying, anybody who's on your list right now, any of your subscribers, if you could, what are the things that you wish they all knew about the high ticket territory? What do you think that you wish you could tell them to get them to move into that area that they don't quite know yet?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is they underestimate the power of the value. Most people undervalue what they know and what they deliver. Because we know our expertise, we undervalue it. Like I said to my mentor, anyone can do a webinar. I mean, God, who's going to pay me $50,000 to set up a webinar business for them? So the first thing you need to know is you are already undervaluing what you know, right? If you're one of these guys that goes out there and says, I'm this, I'm that, I'm fantastic, you know what I mean? Then you probably are very good and you've just got a big ego, or you're full of it, right? But if you're humble, if you deliver great results for people, if you've got students that have made money or lost weight or, you know, done whatever it is that you promise, and you've helped people even for free, there is a good chance that you're missing out on a lot of money from not selling a high ticket item. So the first thing is to realize the value that you give, because money is nothing but the value that you deliver to people. So that's the first thing. Realize and recognize your value. Grab a piece of paper, write down everything that you deliver, write down all the successes you've had for other people, for yourself, and gain the confidence, because this takes confidence. Recently, I had a student who came to me. He ran a podcast in the music business. Now, the music business has been decimated by the internet. Downloads, record labels are dying. He's got this podcast. He hadn't monetized it in 2 years. I said to him, why don't you start putting a $297 webinar together? He did that. He sold it. He made money. He said, what do I do now? I've got all these 30, 40 students who've signed up. He's made 10 grand from his webinar. I said, now you sell them a high-end ticket profit maker product. I said, what? He said, but I don't have one. And I grabbed a piece of paper And I said, tell me, if I was sitting here and I studied your first course with you, tell me, what is a guaranteed way that you can make me successful? And I grabbed a piece of paper and we sat down at the club, the surf club down the road. I said, what could you do to me to guarantee me success in the music business? He goes, I would need to come to your rehearsal room and actually watch the way you practice. I go, great. So once a week, you come to my rehearsal room. Okay, great. Or once a month, right? Once a month, you come to my rehearsal room. Okay. What else would you need to do to make me successful? He said, Steve, we need to make sure your image is good and that you're dressing properly. Okay, image. What else would you do? Okay. And then he listed for me all these different things. Now, I make sure when I'm selling a profit maker product, a high-end ticket, that all the things that I have them list are things that we don't need to create if no one buys it, okay? So I don't want to write in there, create a book and create a, you know, 52 modules that we're going to deliver and whatever. I want it all to be stuff that we can deliver if they buy, okay? So basically, he listed it all and I said, okay, how much do you want to get paid for doing all this? Do you think that's valuable? And he goes, oh my God, that's absolutely massive value. I go, how much would it cost if they went somewhere else? How much would it cost if they went to a fashion stylist and then they went here and there and bang, 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 bang. Worked out to be 50, 100 grand. I don't know the exact figure, right? And then he said, and most people, you won't get a booking agent because, you know, I've got the connections. I can connect them here and there and whatever. A lot of it was intellectual property and you're buying into their networks. A lot of people have a big IP. Like, for example, I've got connections. If you buy my high ticket program, I can point you into directions. I can get you JVs. You know what I mean? So you're buying that intellectual property, the Rolodex of contacts, right? So that's people undervalue their asset of who they know, right? It used to be the 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon movies. Now it's like the 1 degree of separation. I'm like one person away from, you know, from anyone in the world. That's why I didn't believe they couldn't find Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, because it's a 1 degree separation. Now, right? They must be on LinkedIn. All right. So basically, I got him to list it all. And I said, how much do you want to charge, Rod? And Rod said, I don't know. And I said, Rod, would you be happy to charge $10,000? Would you be able to work with 10 people at $10,000 in the first year? And he stepped back and said, oh my God, Steve, no way. $10,000? He goes, which musician has $10,000? They're struggling musicians. There's no money in this market. You should have seen the sweat dripping off his face. I said, offer him $10,000. And he said, no, what about $5,000? And I said, Rod, let me ask you a question. How would you feel to take 10 people through all of this, right? 10 people or 20 people, because now you've got it to make 100 grand from your high ticket. Now you need to actually, you know, do double the work. 20 people now at $5,000. How are you going to feel doing all of that for 20 people? How are you going to feel? Are you going to feel like happy and joyful to wake up in the morning? Or are you going to start getting bitter and twisted going, oh my God, I sold it too cheap. I can't believe I gave all this value. In the beginning, and he goes, yeah, you're right. I'll feel very like I've cheated myself. I go, okay, great. So why don't you take a few people at 10 grand, see how it goes, get some success, and then start charging more and take even fewer people, and then maybe even take a percentage later on as well as your high ticket product. Take ownership, which is what I started doing. I started taking ownerships of all these companies I built because, you know what, they couldn't build it on their own and it was my skills that built it. Why should I receive a one-time high ticket fee? Why don't I take 50% of the company forever? And that's what I started doing. So he sat back and he said, all right, I'm going to try it for 10 grand. I said, okay, fantastic. So the next question is, how do you sell your high ticket item? I said to him, go to the 30 customers that bought your $300 program. Call them up and say something like this. Hey, it's Rod here, just calling up to see how you're going with the program. Do you like it? What else can I help you with? Oh, we're having a great time. We're doing this, we're doing that, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he says, by the way, I've been working with my mentor and I've put together a program that I thought might suit you really well. And that is that I'm going to basically be looking for a handful of 10 musicians that I'm going to do all of the marketing for them. I'm going to help with their image. I'm going to do this. And he lists the offer over the telephone. And he calls me the next day. He goes, Steve, you wouldn't believe it. One lady, she's got the money. She's putting 10 grand in my bank account. And the other guy's going to pay me $1,000 a month. From literally just a few phone calls. And that's happened again and again. Had another example in the US property market. in the US property market. We sold these 8 courses at $1,000 to this guy in Australia, sold them. He calls me up. He says, Steve, something's wrong with my $1,000 course. No one is using the Skype sessions. And I said, don't worry, nothing's wrong with it. Everyone's just busy. I said, call them up. He calls them up. Are you happy with the course? They go, oh, we love the course. We just got busy, blah, 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 blah. He calls me again 3 months later. Steve, something's wrong. They're not using the courses. They're not emailing me. They're not watching the videos. Something's wrong with my course. I said, nothing's wrong. They just got busy. Right? They spent $1,000. They want to buy US property, but they got busy. I said, tell me something. How long would it take you to buy me a property in the US? He said, well, I've got to do the research. That's going to take me 5 hours. Then I'm going to open a US bank account. I'm going to open an LLC. Then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to bid on the auction. And then he lists the whole thing out. I said, okay, if you do all that for them, because did they want the result when they first signed up? And the answer is yes, of course. Sure. They wanted the result. He calls them up again and he says to them, hey, you wanted to buy property, right? Do you still want to buy property in the US? Absolutely. So here's what I've put together because many of my students don't have time. I'm going to do this. 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 Out of 7 phone calls, because the 8th guy was actually went out and did it himself, so he didn't need to help him. The 7 phone calls, one lady put $10,000 in his bank account to buy a US property for her the next day. So this just keeps happening, Sterling, again and again and again, and it comes down to confidence. I know why people are scared, and it's because they undervalue themselves, they're not sure, they're tentative, but here's what I tell you. Write down your offer and make it so irresistible that you feel sick in the stomach offering that much value for your offer that you go, I'm ripping myself off and I can't believe I'm selling this for 10 grand. You're going to get all this for 10 grand. I'm going to be sick selling it to you. But because my mentor told me try it this way, you can take it for 10 grand. And you give so much value. And when you see people paying and getting results, you get confident. Then you put it up to 15 grand. Then you put it to 20 grand and you keep adding value and selling it for more and more.
Sure. And, you know, you bring up a great point that I don't think anybody realizes. You can always just go to your success stories and ask them. You know, we have a very skewed perception. We have a very limited bubble that we live in of exactly what the value that we have. In fact, we're probably not the best judge of what our value is. You know, so I always, and early and often, I recommend to my students, and I go to my own students, so what have you gotten done? What have you achieved? What was the most valuable part of this? Very often, the answers that you get are not the answers you expect, right? But if we realize that we're constantly undervaluing and we realize that we're not a good, you know, judge of what the value is, then we should just go out, find out from them. You tell me what you think, get that feedback early, often test, reiterate, release, you know, quick and dirty, get something done, minimum viable product, get it out there, find out what people want and, you know, give it to them. Very, very often, I found that where I start on the graph, I think I'm going to offer this with this package and this outcome. Then I take that, just a text message, like a text listing. And I go to some of my top students and I say, if I was going to put this out, what would you think? What's missing from this? What would you add to this? What do you think would be a good price point that you wouldn't be shocked if you saw this at? Somewhere between the range of X and Y, if I decided to go with it. And I love your technique. I do the same thing about, you know, not releasing it, not putting a bunch of stuff in until you actually have sales, because I think that's very wise. A lot of our students are actually overworking and getting underpaid because they're building all of this Disney World before they ever even know if it's ever going to sell. But you can always ask your students. You can always go to them. And there's one other point that I've been dying to bring up because you brought this up about the confidence thing. People invest in themselves through us, right? We feel like, you know, our egos get in the way and we feel like they're investing in us. Am I good enough? I'm not good enough. Will I be good enough? Will I get judged? But I think the real truth is, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is that people invest in themselves through us. We are the stewards of that change that they want to implement. We want to be the change agent for them, but it's not about you, it's about them, right? So if we can just understand that they're investing in themselves through us and we're just holding that money because, you know, if they don't pay to take the time, they're never going to make the time. We're holding that money for them in exchange for helping them, you know, get to that point. But if you realize that it's not about you, then you can be more of service, right? And you get yourself out of the way. You extricate your ego from the process and you know, get out of all that head trash about, am I good enough? Am I worth it? You're not the one that's worth it. They're the one that's worth it. Would you agree?
100%, mate. That's, 100%, I agree. People, and this is a very important point that you're raising there, because you need to sell it that way as well. Okay, you need to stop selling the features and you need to start selling the end result, because that's what people are buying. Too many times people go, you're going to get 1 year's worth of coaching with me. And their pitch becomes all the things that people are going to get, right? Oh, you're going to get my 12 set DVDs with a book and 52 videos and a text message every day. And they sell all this. And because the expert, they know what that means. They know in those sessions, we're going to have a breakthrough. We're going to get you. We're going to shake you up. We're going to smack you around. And we're going to have a breakthrough. And we're going to create a webinar. And it's going to sell. And you're going to have your high ticket product. And you're going to be rich. Right? Or you're going to be, you know, thin and muscly or whatever it is that the result that your product gives them. We know what that means, but the customer who hasn't bought yet, the prospect, doesn't know, right? So we need to sell the end result of them owning our program. So I always teach people one little script that's going to be very easy for you to do that, right? So if you're offering 12 months of one-on-one coaching, for example, every single week, you tell them what they're going to get, the feature. You say, you're going to receive 12 months of one-on-one, 1 hour coaching every single week for the next 12 months. In these sessions, you tell them what they're going to learn, the features of in those sessions, we're going to work on your high ticket product. We're going to work on automating your webinar so that you, and then you go into the benefits. The benefits are so that you do the work once and get paid again and again and again. You start taking less customers, but making more money so you can work on your business, not in your business. So you can travel more, so you can have the lifestyle, and tell them the things that they want to have so you can buy properties with cash or whatever the end result is that they seek. You need to drive that home. I always say to people, 7 to 3. You say 3 features for each thing. So if you say coaching, I'm going to give you 12 months coaching. I say to you, I'm going to do one-on-one coaching with you every week to hold you accountable and help you. I'm going to do that so that we go through your webinar and create an amazing webinar offer, and so that we automate your whole business. And the benefit is that you can travel where you want and your business runs. Like me, I go overseas for 3 months of the year, and travel around the world with my wife. When it's winter in Australia, we go overseas. Like at the end of this month, we go overseas, and you can join us on this overseas tour and travel when you want to and go to the movies during the day. And, you know, they're buying those things. So say 7 of those things that they want, the outcomes right, that they're buying, versus 3 of the features. Because this is what, if you just change that one strategy, that's going to boost your conversion rate through the roof just by doing that one trick, selling absolutely that end result.
I call that the so that strategy. You have to just put so that at the end of your sentence. You know, you tell them, you've got this feature. It's made of titanium.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, you just put so that at the end and then tell what is good for them, right?
Exactly. And another one to say is so that is which means. You get this. And another one to mix it up so that we're not saying so that and which means is, and the benefit of this is that you get this and this and this. Okay. That's, and so you can use those words to mix it up.
Well, Steve, I feel like we just got started and it's probably been an hour. We could be jamming all night. Let me get your final piece of advice. If you had just one thing to say to those students who love you the most out on your list, and you want, if you could just reach out to all of them and say the following one thing to them to get them to move into action, to start putting more value into that, you know, in their perception of what they do, and really start charging high ticket offer prices, what would you say to them?
I say to them, right now, you are a multimillionaire from your high ticket product, and you're losing money right now. The opportunity cost of not selling right now, you are costing yourself, okay? Because of your fear, because of your lack of belief in yourself and in your ability, you are right now costing yourself millions of dollars. And even worse, you are costing people that result that they seek, because it's the biggest selfish move for someone to not offer their best absolute product or service out on the market because of their own fear. Letting your fear stop you from truly impacting your customers and truly impacting their results, because you never know, your product, whatever you deliver for them, could have a ripple effect for generations to come in a positive way through the world. And that's thanks to this web, this amazing web of technology that we have access to now. You can now start to share information and help people all over the world and leave a legacy for years to come. So my advice is, stop being selfish. Start to take your claim. And if you don't, your competitors will. And you know you're going to create a way better product and offer more value based on what we've talked about and what you learned with Sterling than anyone else out in the marketplace. Start getting your share and start helping and start giving back to the community. And the universe just has an amazing way. When you give, you receive and take the wealth that you deserve, and then help more people. And then, you know, have the lifestyle you want. Have the family, you know, making the money you want. Start helping other people and taking a percentage of doing that for them, and then share it around, and it just keeps going.
Beautifully said. Rock on, Steve. Awesome job. Thank you so much for sharing everything.
Thanks, bro.
Your wealth of experience, man. Appreciate it.